Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn. We are talking with a courageous person, April Ballantyne. Yesterday's program, we started her story about how she ended a five-year relationship, and unfortunately, a couple months later, a bitter ex-boyfriend shot her five times in the back. The last thing that she remembered was getting an ambulance, and fortunately, she is alive to tell this story. But if you missed yesterday's program, I want to hear about what led up to this point. You got to go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today. I know you will be encouraged and blessed about how God protected her through this just horrific situation. But talk to us. Yesterday we left off where, you know, you had coded out three times, but miraculously you were still alive. So talk to us about what happened when you actually finally realized what all had happened.
Well, you know, what's really interesting, I woke up and I didn't know what had happened. I didn't know the extent of my injuries or, you know, that I was actually laying in the hospital. And, but as I, you know, continued with therapy and, well, not actually therapy at that point, but healing, I was in and out a lot because they had me highly sedated. So I wasn't really aware of anything, and they didn't tell me the extent of my injuries at that point. During that whole stay at UK Hospital, which I wasn't really concerned about that. I was just concerned that I was alive and he was no longer a harm to me, and because he was actually out on the run for 8 days. But throughout this journey, my recovery has been, I will say, nothing short of amazing, because as I went to Cardinal Hill, that the first thing the doctor said to me was paralysis from my breast down. And I'm like, paralysis? I'm like, okay, so I can't walk? You know, and I was thinking that I'd be able to go through therapy and walk again. And one day I will walk again, it's just not today. So I keep my faith and I keep my hope. And you know, when I'm in the gym or when I'm in therapy, I give that 150% because I know it's to benefit me. But throughout this recovery, I've also found other ways other than being in the gym to help in my recovery. And that is actually being able to speak to others, being an advocate to others, actually sharing my story with anyone that really wants to listen, or any public, even the schools or church or anywhere. I go and I share my story, and it is therapy for me because it helps me stronger and really recognize what I've actually been through, to know that, to let other people know that I can only imagine what they're going through. And the majority of the time when you speak to a victim, they never tell you the full truth because there's always something that you don't want them to hear. So when I listen to a victim, I listen to what they're not saying just as well as what they are saying.
Well, help me with that there. I think that's a great point you just made. You know, sometimes even when somebody's being asked about what's really going on, why is the reason that a lot of times maybe they, you know, maybe tell you 75%, but they won't tell you everything? Why is that?
Shame. They feel ashamed. They feel that people would look at them as a lesser person, or, you know, why don't you just leave? And, you know, you don't understand someone's situation in domestic violence unless you've been there. Because I don't care what person says, well, I can fight or I can do this. It's very difficult to overpower a man, regardless of, you know, what you say you're going to do. Because when the adrenaline just goes up, it's almost uncontrollable. And that's in male and female. But when you have someone that has behavioral issues, you know, you don't know what the extent is or could be. But my recovery is strong. I think my recovery is strong because my faith is stronger. I think the big, greatest challenge for me in my recovery was fear and hope. And, you know, I would always say, well, I wish or I hope I can do this or I can do that. Well, I don't want to tip over, or I don't want to be in a situation to where I fall, or I'm afraid if I can't get over a curb. And those were all the obstacles that I was creating for myself. And those obstacles became my fears, because now I realize that fear is not real. Fear, we create our own fears. And it allowed me to also lean more against my faith, not against, but with my faith. And God has shown me different situations to where He confirms He will never forsake me. He will never leave me. He will never abandon me. He will always be there. He will always protect me. And He continues to do that through today. So through this recovery, I think the greatest thing for me right now is that I know my faith and I trust my faith. And so if there is an unfortunate situation that arises, I know it's going to be okay. I don't have to worry about it. So He's taken my fear and my hope away and turned it into faith.
Well, that is so powerful. So powerful. I know there's somebody listening today, whether live on the radio or on the podcast, and you're in fear right now over something in your life. Yet as you hear April Ballantyne share how when her life was completely changed, turned upside down in August of 2013 when she was shot 5 times by an ex-boyfriend, has paralysis from the breast down right now, but we are believing in healing and that she will walk again someday. Yet you hear the passion, her conviction that, yes, God is still with her, and her faith. She chooses faith over fear. And so for you today that's listening and you're in fear, I want to encourage you to be like April. You know, it's easy for sometimes for people to say, well, you hear somebody that's been through what she's been through, yet she's choosing faith over fear. You can do the same thing. And so I encourage you to do that today. Let me rewind just 1 second, though, April. I feel like a question I want to ask you from talking to some people sometimes that are in unhealthy relationships. A lot of people think sometimes domestic violence is just physical, and obviously you suffered that. But domestic violence also can be verbal, can it?
Oh, definitely. Domestic violence is verbal. It is verbal as well. It's, you know, being manipulated. It's being, you know, abusive as far as calling you names or, you know, just trying to control your behaviors of where you're going, when you're going, and who you're going with. It's scary because it does have such a wide variety of areas that cover domestic violence.
Well, and I think something else that I've learned from talking with people over the past few years that have been in really unhealthy relationship issues, and you talked about earlier how, you know, sometimes when you've talked with people that are victims of that, you know, it's easy to say you need to leave, but it's obviously different for each person in each situation. But one thing that has been shared with me a few times is that one of the lies that a lot of times the victims feel is that, well, maybe they deserve that, or, you know, that they're not trying hard enough in the relationship, or there's something wrong with them. Have you found that to be true, too?
Oh, definitely. I mean, people become very judgmental because a lot of people knew of his actions and behaviors and his past, where no one chose to tell me, but they would look at me sometimes, and you could just tell, you know, they didn't like the individual that I was with, and they couldn't understand why. And I couldn't understand why they looked at me that way.
Well, what was meant for evil, you're using for good. Talk about what you're doing now, vocationally wise.
Okay, so now what I'm doing is I actually work for the Sheriff's Office here in Fayette County, and we have a center called the Amanda Center. And the Amanda Center is for victims of domestic violence, where we provide resources, we provide safe safe homes. We don't provide safe homes, but we provide the resource for safe homing and being able to get back on your feet and legal support, counseling. We do as much as we can to, you know, be there for a victim, but, you know, we can only give options. We can't tell you tell them what to do. They have to be able to make that decision on their own. And many times, victims are not going to want the help because they believe they can get through it and they don't want to go to court and they don't want to be the person that is a victim of domestic violence in public. So, you know, this has been, it's been almost a 4-year commitment that I have given thus far. And I continue to do so, and be it whether I'm in the courthouse or in my vehicle, I'm going to be an advocate for others.
Well, tell how that actually started. You know, share with me how you just spoke with a few women, but share how you got started doing this position. Who heard you speak and said, hey, I want you to help us with this situation?
Okay, sure. So in my past experience, you know, I have had to do some public speaking, and I hated to public speak, even though I did it. So the greatest challenge for me was to be approached by someone that wanted me to speak in front of a group, regardless of the size. And an individual lady contacted me from a church. She has a program called, Sister to Sister, and she wanted me to come and speak to this group at church and tell my story. So, you know, I said, well, I can do this, but, you know, I didn't know how I was going to do it or what I was supposed to say. And so I figured I would teach. And when I was teaching, I told them my story, but I also broke down the different areas of domestic violence that I wasn't familiar with. And at the end of that, there was probably 4 to 6 women that actually came forward and said they were victims of domestic violence. And I guess one of the most important people there was our sheriff, Fayette County Sheriff Kathy Witt. And she told me that, you know, she said, I know you said you have a calling, but she said, this is your calling, and I want you on my team, because she has been an advocate for domestic violence for, I know, the last 40 years. And so that's how we actually met. And that's how we connected, and that's why we're still here working together today.
Well, it's beautiful because obviously people listen because you have lived it, and by God's grace and the miracle, you are alive, and you do have a gift of communication. Yet I love that, you know, you didn't want to speak in front of groups, but God's opened that door, and now the ripple effect is absolutely amazing. But we're going to have April stay with us for one more program, because she's going to share some incredible stories about how God has just showed up. And when you're confined to a wheelchair and you have challenges with your automobile and other things, man, you know, you have to live by a lot of faith. And she's got some powerful stories. If you don't have hope, you'll have hope if you hear these stories that April Ballantyne is going to share. So I want to encourage you to invite a friend to join us and tune in tomorrow as we will continue our conversation with April Ballantyne on Hope Is Here.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.